Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nayasya svapara iti Utesha atmani vabhidha Sarvabhuta samakshanta Sabai bhagavato tamaha Nayasya svapara iti Vitesha atmani vabhidha Sarvabhuta samakshanta Savai bhagavato tamaha. Questions? No, there is not. Yasya? Of whom? Swapara iti. Mine and someone else's. Viteshu. About his property. Atmani. About his body. Va. Or vidha. By thinking in terms of duality. Sarvabhuta, to all living beings. Samaha, equal. Shantaha, peaceful. Saha, he, by, indeed. Bhagavata Uttama, the best of devotees. Translation. When a devotee gives up the selfish conception by which one thinks, this is my property and that is his. And when he is no longer concerned with the pleasures of his own material body or indifferent to the discomforts of others, he becomes fully peaceful and satisfied. He considers himself simply one among all the living beings who are equally part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a satisfied Vaishnava is considered to be at the highest standard of devotional service. Therefore, the vision described by the phrase sarvabhuta samaha, seeing all living entities equally, does not include one's vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this connection, Srila Madhavacharya has quoted from the Harivamsa as follows, Nakvati jivam vishnute samshrishto muksha evacha. Under no circumstance should one consider the living entity equal to Lord Vishnu, either in conditional life or in liberation. Impersonal speculative philosophers are fond of imagining that although in our present illusion, we appear to be individual entities. At liberation, we shall all merge into God and be God. Such wishful thinkers cannot reasonably explain how the omnipotent God could arrive at the embarrassing position of having to enter a yoga studio, pay weekly fees, press his nose, and chant mantras to regain his divinity. As stated in the Vedas, nitya nitya nam chaitanas chaitanam eko bahunam yogadati kaman. The individuality or plurality of living entities is not a product of material existence. The word nityanam, denoting the plurality of eternal entities, clearly indicates that the living entities are eternally individual parts and parcels of the Lord, who is the singular, unique entity, described here as Ekaha. In Bhagavad Gita 1:21, Arjuna said to Krishna, Vatam stapaya me chuta. My dear Achyuta, please place my chariot between the armor. This body is also ratha, or vehicle, and therefore the best policy is to request the infallible Lord to take charge of our conditional body and guide us on the path back to the kingdom of God. The word Achyuta means the infallible, or one who never falls. Learned or sane human beings will not enter this silly notion that the omnipotent, omniscient God has slipped and fallen because of Maya. No amount of wishful thinking can erase our eternal servitorship at the lotus feet of the Lord. The fact is stated by the Lord himself in the Vraha Purana. Naivam tvaya numam mantyajam jivatmaha iti kvachit sarvaguna susampanam daivam mam jatun arhasi. You should never think me one of the ordinary living entities in the jiva category. In fact, I am the reservoir of all opulences and godly qualities, and therefore you should understand that I am the Supreme Lord. According to Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam does not forbid using a particular object in the Lord's service, since a devotee is free to use a particular object in the Lord's service. Such a sincere devotee is free to use anything favorable for serving Lord Krishna. This acceptance of favorable objects in the service of Krishna is called Yukta Vairagya. As stated by Srila Rupa Goswami, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe. One should be attached for Krishna's sake, never for one's own sake. If one interprets this verse to indicate that one should not exercise control over any material object, even if it is favorable for serving Krishna, one falls into the bad understanding called Falgu Vairagya, or immature renunciation. Great kings such as Maharaj Yudhisthira and Maharaj Pukshit engaged the entire earth, and other Vaishnavas have engaged the entire universe in the service of Krishna. But they completely gave up the sense of their personal proprietorship. That is the point made in this verse. Just as one becomes very much concerned about any pain in one's own body, one should be concerned with bringing the conditioned souls to the platform of devotional service so that all of their sufferings will be banished forever. That is the actual purport of not distinguishing between one body and another. So we're hearing more about the wonderful qualities of the Uttama Adhikari, the highest devotee in Krishna's eyes. And it's wonderful to hear all these qualities, because we can see how far we are from the real goal. Here is describing about this equal vision of the Uttama Adhikari, actually beginning to see beyond the material covering, actually looking to the soul and seeing everyone as equal, like every living entity as that spirit soul and part and power of Krishna. And it comes to that nice transcendental mathematical equation of that God or Krishna is, he is he whom no one is greater than or equal to. And the devotees love that. They love it. Because we are simply a part and parcel. All the parts, if we put all of our parts together, every living entity in the universe, we're not going to be equal to or greater than Krishna. So we're very happy just being his his humble servant, realizing that he's the fountainhead of all existence, and that we are meant to simply serve in that mood. So it's a relief. It's actually a relief. I know I was totally relieved to the point of crying when I heard that I wasn't God, because it was really very difficult to figure out what God did all day, and I was getting pretty bored. So it was a great relief. It was like, discarding so much load off your shoulders to realize that now I can just be happy. I can just serve and worship Krishna. And like it's saying here, I can start using everything in God's service. It just made so much sense that I immediately joined and trying to still figure out how to serve in a humble mood, realizing that we are just that little teeny, weeny, weeny, whiny little parcel. So this is what it takes to become very strong in our intelligence, so that in our vision we can also see in everybody else that they're not that material body, that the intelligence has to be so sharp that you can't get illusioned to think that that person's a black person or that person's a Spanish person. We're so conditioned to it that it's really requires a lot of practice, because the vision isn't, in your eyeballs, I can see the spirit soul, but it's the 20/20 vision within our hearts. 100% purity is required to really see that soul, and so many devotees have testified that they could feel Prabhupada's vision going right inside and seeing that soul. Definitely, Srila Prabhupada was an Uttama Adhikari. He had that special potency, which is inconceivable. I mean, it's such a unique thing to have. And we're definitely not on that platform yet. We're still hung up on I'm this body and this proprietorship. This is mine. This is mine. This is my country. Things like that. So we have a lot of work and training to do. It's because of this attitude of not really seeing everything as Krishna's and that I am connected to this body, that we sit ourselves on this big platform of pride, of this big false ego. And I know I'm praying all the time that someone will come behind me and just push me off this platform so I can smash my face and get rid of it. Because if you're way up on this platform, then you'll never really achieve the highest platform of this equal vision, which is so important to make some advancement in spiritual life. So this pride is something that we have to pray to Srimati Radharani to get rid of. We only have a few years left to smash this pride. Otherwise, we really will not be able to understand our real position. As it's described here, this silly notion. Last Sunday, when we were doing the cut-up, we could hear a really nice following Prabhupada story of this very wealthy man. I've been to his house a few times, but I can't remember his spiritual name. But how he was a Mayavadi for 7 years, even with an association of Prabhupada, for 7 years he was battling this Mayavadi ingrained thing that he had with his so-called spiritual master, Chinmaya or somebody, something like that. And then he'd go to Prabhupada and hear the philosophy, and he'd go back to this guru and was getting so confused. And for 7 years, and with Prabhupada's direct, close association, hearing the philosophy, still he was just like tied, this Maya is so strong. And at the very end, then Prabhupada said, so arrange for a debate with this guru. And you go tell him that we'll debate over this. And if he really knows minds, if he can really know these minds, he'll know that I'm going to ask him to lift Govardhan Hill. And he went and asked him, and he said, my spiritual master wants to debate with you. And he refused. He could realize that he was going to be smashed, and he refused. It was such a silly notion. This man was at, he even went to him in the very beginning and asked him, well, Well, why are you getting gray hairs and you're old if you're actually, we're all one and you're God, and why are you having this transformation, getting old? And he said, I just want to present myself old so that you'll have more respect for me. And anyway, it was just ridiculous. So the silly notion, it is very deep ingrained within ourselves, and we have to pray to get rid of this. And so why not just accept Krishna? He's totally qualified to be that whom no one is equal to or greater than. When you were like Anjamas, we heard someone with wonderful qualities. And we know that Krishna meets all these qualifications. He's the greatest, and he's beyond our comprehension. He's so far out. That's what makes him God. He's far out. He's far away from us. He's not lumped into this jiva category. He's not lumped into this imperfect position that the jiva soul is. But the mind will tell you so many different things. And we are tricked to think that I am the proprietor, that I am great, that I am better than this person and that person. Even my qualities are so great. Like, just like right now, if you went around to the room, my mind could trick me to think that I am greater than here, than Jonathan Rishi here. Right, and he could look over to Adi Dave and say, oh, "Actually, I'm more beautiful. You're more richer than him." We can all convince ourselves that we are greater than every single person in this room, with some quality, beauty, wealth, even devotion. I'm more devoted, or I'm more humble. It's kind of an oxymoron, but I'm more humble than anybody else. So the mind can trick us. So we have to. Why not just serve Krishna and be happy, be free from all this false ego that just inflates us and makes us so uncomfortable? You know, when there's an affection, everything gets swollen and it hurts more. And so our false ego gets bigger and bigger, and it hurts. It hurts us. Hurts us in our advancement. And it's not pleasant to always be thinking that we are equal to or greater than anyone else. But actually, we're all equal. Like he's describing in this verse. So why not just be happy and serve Radharani and Krishna here? So yes, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. But I have to make a little adjustment. And Krishna actually breaks a rule here. Because there is someone greater than Krishna. And he admits it. Who is it? Srimati Radharani, right? Yes. So that he can see that this internal potency of the Lord is greater than him. So it is him, but it's greater than him. And it can be very great. And he admits it. He says that Krishna that Radharani can control me. That she has that ability to control me with so much love that is increasing every single moment. He's giving her, she is giving him more and more pleasure. So Krishna kind of breaks the mathematical equation here. So, but it's relishable to us to see that that Krishna even admits that he's indebted. He can't even pay back the debt. So she's just gonna have to be happy with the pleasure that he gives her. So these are not ordinary dealings. We can't lump them in. This is a total different league of personalities of these two lordships. And so as it's warning here, don't think that these pastimes of the supreme lordships are ordinary at all. They're totally inconceivable to us. And especially us, because who in this room has not been cheated or robbed of a loving affair in this material world, on a material platform? Most of us, at least the ones that have had a lot of material pastimes, we've all been cheated or robbed or at the least disappointed to the ultimate with so-called loving pastimes. And therefore, now we get to hear and get to rejuvenate our our hopes that there is a real love that exists in the material, in the spiritual world eternally, and that is between Srimati Radharani and Krishna. And so this is something that we can begin to relish, actually just hearing it, although it's inconceivable, we can relish it to the utmost and learn about what it really takes to have this loving relationship on this highest transcendental level. It's sweet, as sweet as can be. Some of the pastimes are relishable. And we can remember that this personality of Krishna and Srimati Radharani are not ordinary. I mean, who could think of God who would impersonate himself and make him look just like Srimati Radharani's husband, Abhimanyu? So Krishna did this, poof, he made himself look like Abhimanyu, just so could he, because he was being separated from Radharani. So he entered right into the little village complex and was going right into the home of Srimati Radharani, dressed up as Abhimanyu. And Jatila was thinking, oh yeah, no one's thinking anything different. Everyone's bewildered by this. And he goes inside and can just enjoy with Srimati Radharani. Until what happened? Jatila sees another Abhimanyu coming home. And what does he do? You fake Abhimanyu, and start beating him and chastising him, and sends him away. And meanwhile, Krishna is enjoying with Srimati Radharani inside. He also impersonates himself again. He dresses up as a beautiful young girl. And he goes into the association of Srimati Radharani and some of her superiors, and says, oh, she's decked out to the hilt. Yeah, there are bangles and looks beautiful. Krishna can make himself look so gorgeous, just like a young sister of Radharani. And so she goes in there and says, oh, Srimati Radharani, my sister, you must give me that loving embrace. And meanwhile, Radharani, knowing that this is Krishna, all can do it, all the superiors are running all around, all she can do is just smile and just relish that trickster Krishna, he's so wonderful. So these are not ordinary activities that you would think that God would do. Actually, it can get to a point when Radharani and Krishna can actually become totally bewildered with the ecstatic loves that they have within themselves. And sometimes in the barn, there's different things going on. Krishna goes there early to do his milking duties, and Radharani's in there churning yogurt into butter, and they're both looking at each other and getting a little confused and totally bewildered. And we see that Radharani is churning a big pot of nothing, because there's nothing in there, but she's trying to turn nothing into yogurt, because she forgot to put the yogurt into the pot to turn butter. And then we see that Radharani is looking at Krishna and laughing because Krishna is trying to milk a bull instead of a cow. So this is the bewilderment that they can have when they're totally enwrapped in this extraordinary transcendental loving pastimes. And so there's nice qualities of Radharani that are described in Sri Radhika Stava. I thought we'd read them. It says, O Radha, O beloved of Madhava, O you who are worshipped by all the young girls of Gokul, all glories unto you, all glories unto you. O you who dress yourself in such a way as to increase Lord Damodar's love and attachment for you. Just like today, she's dressed so nicely in these green colors. O Queen of Vrindavan, which is the pleasure grove of Lord Hari? O New Moon, who has arisen from the ocean of King Vrishabhanu? O Friend of Lalita, O you who make the Shaka loyal to you due to your wonderful qualities of friendliness, kindness, and faithfulness to Krishna? O you who are filled with compassion? O you whose divine characteristics are described by the great sages Seneca and Sanatana, O Radha, please be merciful to me. So these are just a teeny tiny bit of some of Srimati Radharani's qualities. But the key thing that Radharani is that she's always absorbed, totally absorbed in Krishna. So much so that sometimes in her sleep, people will hear her saying, oh, Krishna, stop joking around like this. And don't touch my garments either. Oh, you're such a, give up these naughty, rascal activities. And so sometimes the elders will hear this and realize that she's totally contemplating on her real Lord, on Krishna. And sometimes she'd be churning butter and the bangles would all have this ching, ching, ching. If they put a lot of them, they do, they put like 10, 12, 14 of them, and they all ching together, right? And so she's, the beautiful sound of her bangles and the churning, and she's just singing the glories of Krishna out loud. And then all of a sudden she gets embarrassed, thinking, oh my goodness. And she's feeling guilty of all that devotion that she has for Krishna, that it might eke out and others see it. And sometimes she does get caught. Sometimes, one time she was taking off her necklace, and Jatila from a distance with some other ladies said, you see that necklace? That necklace is the one that Krishna gave her. But don't expect her to admit to this. She is simply an embarrassment, a disgrace to our family. And so sometimes she does reveal her great attachment and association with Krishna. There's a nice description in Nectar Devotion about some of the harassment that Radha and Krishna can give each other. So there's a nice little paragraph about laughter. These are different expressions of ecstatic love. After he had stolen some yogurt from the pots of two gopis, Krishna told one of his gopi friends, my dear beautiful friend, I can take oath that I have not stolen even a drop of yogurt from your pot, but still your friend Radharani is very shamelessly smelling the flavor of my mouth. Kindly forbid her from this devious policy of putting her face near mine. When Krishna was speaking like this, the friends of Radharani could not check their laughter. This is an instance of laughter and ecstatic love. So even the harassment they give each other is totally transcendental and gives everyone transcendental pleasure. And Krishna also even relishes the neglect that Radharani sometimes shows towards him, which is transcendental neglect. And sometimes some of the nicest pastime Krishna has is in joking with words to Radharani. And so in counter words, Radharani will say all these things that show her neglect to Krishna. And when she does this, you can kind of picture her just like, you know, shoving him aside with her face, you know. No, I don't want to have anything to do with you. And so these characteristics, actually Krishna comments that these facial expressions increase his love and pleasure hundreds and hundreds of times just by seeing this performance of neglect. So there's, it's hard to understand how Radharani knows all these different arts of how to actually please Krishna, so we can beg that maybe she'll give us some little insight of how to please Krishna in some way in this lifetime. She's also expert in the art of cooking. We've heard that she doesn't ever cook the same thing ever twice, which is pretty amazing. But there's a nice description of some of the sweets that she cooks while Krishna's is getting ready for breakfast or lunch. Then she's at Mother Yasoda's house, and knowing Yasoda Mata, knowing that she's the greatest cook, will have her cook some of the milk sweets and different sweets. And some of these sweets are Padmachini, which is a sweet made out of lotus flowers. I don't know how, but must be pretty far out. And then there's the other milk sweets, which are Sarpuri and Karpuri Makali. And these are all milk sweets. And then there's one sweet called Kanda Kirishara Vriksha. And Vriksha means trees. So these are all milk sweets that are made in the shapes of trees. So She's expert in so many different arts, especially in all the pastimes. And even some of these sweets, when Krishna would put some of them, knowing that Radharani had made them, put them in his mouth, sometimes he would make a horrible-looking face, thinking that, oh, this is horrible. And Radharani would look over and so concerned, oh, my goodness, what did I do wrong? Did I put salt into the sugar? What's going on? And Krishna would enjoy seeing her worried face. So these are all wonderful pastimes that we can try to remember in the next couple of days, because we should be meditating on Srimati Radharani. We find that the topmost place in the universe is described in Nectar of Instruction, that the topmost place is Radhakum. The topmost pastimes are going on there. The two topmost personalities enjoy the greatest pleasure there in Radhakum. And so we can see also that the Uttam Bhakta is that who relishes these great and understands some of these pastimes. And one such Uttam Bhakta is Jiva Goswami, who actually had a great understanding of these pastimes between Radha and Krishna. And he chose to write a song. Very simple song, though. Although he has this highest understanding, very simple song. And I thought we could sing it, if you don't mind. No. Krishna Prema Mai. I'll read the translation first, because it's very simple and sweet, but it will put in our minds this relationship of how they're pleasing each other, even just by the way they dress themselves and how they look, and how dear they are to each other, and how this sight of seeing them should be very dear to us. So, I think I forgot that. Is there a song? Another songbook? Oh, here it is, right here. Okay, so this is the translation by Jiva Goswami. These are eight verses glorifying the divine couple. Radha is made of pure love for Krishna, and Hari is made of pure love for Radha. In life or in death, Radha and Krishna are my eternal shelter. Radha is the treasure of Krishna, and Hari is the treasure of Radha. In life or in death, Radha and Krishna are my eternal shelter. Radha pervades the life force of Krishna, and Hari pervades the life force of Radha. In life or in death, Radha and Krishna are my eternal shelter. Radha is totally melted with Krishna, and Hari is totally melted with Radha. In life or in death, Radha and Krishna are my eternal shelter. Radha is situated in the body of Krishna, and Hari is situated in the body of Radha. In life or in death, Radha and Krishna are my eternal shelter. Radha is fixed in the heart of Krishna, and Hari is fixed in the heart of Radha. In life or in death, Radha and Krishna are my eternal shelter. Radha wears cloth of blue color, and Hari wears cloth of yellow. In life or in death, Radha and Krishna are my eternal shelter. Radha is the mistress of Vrindavan, and Krishna is the master of Vrindavan. In life or in death, Radha and Krishna are my eternal shelter. Krishna Prema Mai Radha, Radha Prema Mai Hari, Mai Radha, J. Jivane Nirane Nityam. Jivane Nirane Nityam. Lada Vishnu Mayi Raha. Krishna Pati Nama Krishna Sya Devinam Radha 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 Vinam Hari Jivane Nirane Nityam. Jivane Nirane Nityam. Krishna Radha Krishna Bhakti Mama Krishna Prema Mayi Radha Radha Prana Mayo Hari Jivane Radha Krishna Bhakti Mama Krishna Radha Mayi Radha 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 Mayo Hari Jivane Nirane Nityam. Radha Krishna Gati Mama. Krishna Gati Sita Radha. Hari Jivane Nirane Nityam. Jivane Nirane Nityam. Krishna Gati Mama Krishna Chitta Sita Radha Radha Chitta Sita Hari Jivane Nirane Nityam. Jivane Nirane Nityam. Radha Krishna Pati Mama. Nilambara Dara Radha Pitambara Dara Hari. Radha Krishna Pati Mama. Vrindavan Shri Radha Krishna Vrindavaneshwara. Krishna Pati Mama. Radha Krishna Pati Mama. Radha Shama Sundara, Radha Shama Sundara.
This definition of Bhagavata Uttamaha does not include, at least from what I saw, love for Krishna. It seems to include equality towards living beings, seeing souls in material bodies. So just wanted your thoughts on that.
Well, the qualities come from the heart. So the heart is full of love. So the more pure the heart, like Radharani's heart is so pure, there's more love. So those devotees with the pure hearts, they exhibit all those higher features. That's as far as I can understand. They go together. Is that a question, a comment, or?
What I understood that 45 is the intrinsic nature of a Mahabhagavata. Sarva, the three things. That he has a pure love, such a red in his heart and with Ishtadev or his loving deity. And then he sees that deity in everything, in everywhere, and everything in the deity, both. But these are eight. A surplus quality through his behavior or lifestyle manifest. Not that exactly what is inside is without him. This is what I understood from that.
Extra. Regatnika. Sure.
Thank you for so much nectar, especially that song. yesterday I just was on dandabhaj.com and I read the beautiful story again of Radharani's appearance. Can I just relate that real quickly? When Vrishabhanu found her in the basket, little baby girl, brought her to Kirtidash, they were so delighted. They then celebrated the, had a celebration of her arrival and like that, and invited all the neighbors, including Maharaj Nanda and Yashoda. And Maharaj Nanda and Yashoda, of course, brought Krishna and Balaram, who were about 1 year old, or two years old. And because Radharani agreed to appear in this world on the condition that first person she saw would be Krishna. So little baby Radharani was in her little cradle, swinging cradle, and Krishna was crawling around on the floor, and he crawled over to the cradle, and when Radharani smelt him, his presence, then her eyes opened, and there he was. And because actually the parents were so concerned that she was deaf and dumb. Sorry, I missed the blind. Oh, blind and mute. Right. So then that was when she first opened her eyes and started crying out of ecstasy, and everybody was in total ecstasy. And if you go to Dandabhaj and you see this beautiful painting someone did, I just pray that that painting is etched in my heart. It's just adorable. Of Krishna holding on to Radharani's hand, clutching her hand there, and she's just delighted to see little Krishna with his flute there. It's beautiful. Hare Krishna.
Shrimati Radharani ki jai.
Yeah. Lord Prabhupada.